Good morning and welcome to Little Soterra Church of the Brethren. We're very glad to have you with us here this morning. We have a few announcements that I'd like to highlight. First is that tomorrow evening at 7:30 p.m. is the Every Member Council. And the other is that next Sunday, August 19th, there will be no adult Sunday school hour. There will be the annual conference reports here in the sanctuary for the second service. I'm sorry, 2 weeks.
No, that's Sunday, 19th.
The 19th. Are there any other announcements that someone would like to highlight this morning?
There is a new membership class being held right after the church service. That's for anyone who's interested in being baptized, but it's also for those of you who may not be a member yet and have considered transferring your membership here by letter, or you want to reaffirm your faith. So please just come to the office after services and we can take care of any paperwork that we need to, or you can stay in the class if you're interested in being baptized. Thank you.
Are there any other announcements this morning? If not, I'd invite you to stand, greet those around you, and in a minute we'll get started with our worship service.
On the revolving thing and they go under and just go. But people just don't like to do that. It offends everybody. Well, that's a good idea. I like that idea. Yeah. The words for our first song are up on the screen. Please join us in How Deep the Father's Love for Us.
Death and resurrection. Why should Joseph paid my ransom.
You may be seated.
You know, God is good all the time, and all the time,
God is good.
No matter what's happening around us, we can be assured of that very fact that God is good, and we indeed know how deep his love is. Just an update on my dad. He did go home yesterday. His sugar levels were very low, so they were trying to get those under control. And my brother, fortunately, is able to stay with him through the weekend. So we continue to keep my dad in prayer, Bob. And then Denise is at home this morning. She wanted to be here, but she's just regaining her strength. And this is a tough week for her as the steroids wear off and she goes through that withdrawal. But we are trusting in God that she'll be brought back to full health. Any other joys or concerns you'd like to share with your church family this morning?
Good morning. I would ask for prayer for my dad, Tom Yingling. There's a whole long story that I won't share with you this morning, but God was absolutely present with a lot of things with my family yesterday. My dad was involved in a minor accident while he was working on his pickup truck, and he is in the hospital with a small brain bleed. He should be discharged today. He was completely coherent, all that kind of stuff. More disgusted that he was in the hospital not working on the truck than actually injured. But we just ask for praise for his recovery. Thank you.
We got a call this morning from Gail Walsbury. Regarding Ruth Conover, her mother. She's in Good Sam. Ruth is in Good Sam this morning for surgery for her hip. Her hip had actually been broken during a fall, I guess earlier, well, this past week, and they weren't aware of it. And she had pain that continued, and I guess they determined that her hip was broken and scheduled surgery this morning. So Gail is there, and Ruth is undergoing surgery. So prayers for Ruth Conover.
Thank you.
Yeah, prayers for my father, Martin Bayshore. He had a procedure done on Wednesday that took twice as long as it originally was thought, but things are well, and he's doing pretty good. Just prayers for healing, and also continue to pray for my mother, Christine. She had two chemo treatments this past week and is doing rather well. Thanks.
Let's pray. Father God, we just come before you this morning. We know you're a God that is near to us. We know that you're a God that is active in our different situations we face. And this morning, we just come before you. You know those that have gone through procedures, those that have gone through treatment. You know those that are facing procedures even now. And we just pray, Father, your powerful touch upon them, that you would give each of them assurance. You would give them comfort. You would give them peace. But most of all, Father, we look to you this morning as the master physician. And we pray, Father, your healing touch, that as many are recovering, as many are facing surgeries, Lord, that you would just allow their recoveries to go smoothly and your healing just to be upon them, Lord, that they wouldn't suffer any further illness, Lord, but they would be brought to wholeness. And we just thank you, Lord, for the wholeness that you give us in our lives. And we just lift up Ruth this morning and just pray as she's in surgery, facing surgery, Lord, that you would just be still in her life and just allow her to know your presence in a very powerful way. And we just pray for that hip, Lord, even now, Lord, that you would just bring healing to it. But if it be your will surgery take place, Lord, we pray that it would be successful and you would just be with the doctors and give them steady hands. We thank you for bringing Martin through his procedure and just pray recovery time for him, Lord, that you would just give him peace and give him comfort as he recovers from his procedure, and continue to be with Christine and others dealing with long-term illnesses, Lord, as they face treatment, Lord, that you would just allow your presence to be made known in their lives. And we just thank you, Lord, for family. We thank you for friends and church members to be able to pray for one another, for we know that the prayers of the righteous are powerful and effective. So we just lift up every single one on our hearts right now, and we know, God, that you have a plan, you have a purpose, and we just surrender to that. And we confess, Lord, we don't always understand it, but Lord, we know that it's pleasing and it's perfect to you. So Lord, just help us to trust in your plan for our lives and for the lives of those on our prayer concerns. We lift up Brother Tom this morning, Lord, and we just indeed pray he would be released from the hospital, and just that small bleed he has would cease, it would stop in the name of Jesus, and just continue to give him patience and give him a strong recovery. And we just thank you for his family and bless them, Lord. We just think of Long Run this morning and other congregations within the Church of the Brethren. We just pray your power through the Holy Spirit to be with leadership, to be with pastors, to be with every church attendee, Lord, and just allow your Spirit to just move in their midst. And we just thank you, Lord, for the way your Spirit moves in Little Sotara. And we just pray that we would just be a blessing to one another and be a blessing to others outside these four walls. We thank you, Lord, for forgiveness, and we take time right now in these next few moments of silent prayer just to confess our sins, but Lord, help us to turn from them and to never return to them. So, Father, hear our prayers of confession and also those prayers upon our hearts. Lord, words just can't describe how thankful we are for forgiveness in our lives. We pray, Lord, that we would live like we're forgiven. We would live like we're free. And we would live as though the difference we can make in others' lives matters to us personally. So I pray, Lord, even now you would place names upon our hearts. You would help us to know those that you wish for us to reach out to and to be able to bring encouragement to. And we just thank you, Lord, that you've made such a powerful difference in our lives. We just continue to pray for Ruth and for Sharon and for Bob and for Denise and for Sam and for John, Lord. You know what they're facing right now. And we just pray, Father, that your healing touch would be upon them. You would be their strength in their weakness, Lord. And we just pray, most of all, your will to be accomplished in our lives. We surrender to your will, and we know your plans are pleasing and perfect, Lord. And so help us to live into those plans and help us as a church to go in the direction you're calling us. Thank you for being here in our midst. Thank you for moving in our midst. And we pray that we would give you glory in all things. And it's in Jesus' most precious and powerful name we pray. Amen and amen.
As we come to our time of offering, it's found in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 17. All shall give as they are able according to the blessing of the Lord your God that he has given you. Remember, he has given us everything, and he's given it up to us so that we can, in return, share it with others. Let us pray. Dear Lord God, please accept our gifts that we willingly and joyfully offer to you this day, remembering everything we have is yours. Amen.
I'd like the children to come join me up front. Good morning. How's everyone this morning?
Good.
Have you ever traveled to a big city?
New York City for my birthday last year. It was awesome.
Yeah, New York's awesome. Why do you think it's awesome?
It's so amazing. I thought it was awesome because I went to the American Girl doll store and I love American Girl dolls.
You love American Girl dolls. That's pretty cool. How about anyone else? Has anyone ever traveled to a big city?
I don't remember.
You don't remember? What do you think of when you think of big cities?
Before I went to New York City, I thought there was these like big buildings, but there was a lot of big ones, but mm-hmm. The place that I really liked was this St. Patrick's Church, which I really liked.
That's really beautiful, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember going to New York City myself when I was younger, and as I walked down the streets, I was absolutely amazed at all the skyscrapers and the huge buildings. And I thought, how could these buildings be so tall? How did people build them? I thought to myself. But as fascinating as these buildings are to look at, and as beautiful as the most cities are in all of the world could ever be, they can't begin to compare to the city that God is preparing for his people. Heaven is going to be beautiful because of God's presence and all that he has created within. The Bible tells us that there will be 12 gates and 12 foundations. The beauty of this city is also described. The city is going to be pure gold. Can you imagine that? Pure gold the city is going to be. And the walls and the gates will be covered with all kinds of beautiful gems. The streets will also be pure gold. What do you think about that? Gold streets. We can try to imagine what it will be like, but it's hard to completely imagine. Just think, God is preparing the city for his people. How do you think we get there? How do we get to heaven?
God will show us the way.
God will show us the way. You are correct. Yeah, if we believe God, that he died and rose again, need his forgiveness, and we try to live the way that God wants, then God writes our name in the book of life. Everyone who believes and accepts Jesus, including you and I, we'll go to heaven and we'll live there forever. Wow, it's amazing what God has in store for us. Let's pray. Dear God, we only know a few of the wonderful things you are preparing for us in heaven. Help us to believe and follow your ways so that we will get to one day experience all you have to offer us. Amen. And before you go back, I'd like to give you each a ticket, and it says, Jesus is my ticket to heaven. So I'd like you to take your ticket to heaven and remember that. Jesus is the way. Go ahead, you can go back.
If you're able, I invite you to stand as we sing Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God, number 324.
The scripture reading this morning is from the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 9 through 27. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east, 3 on the north, 3 on the south, and 3 on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. The city was laid out like a square, as long as it was wide. He measured the city with the rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length, and as wide and high as it is long. He measured its wall, and it was 144 cubits thick by man's measurement, which the angel was using. The wall was made of jasper, and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. The great street of the city was of pure gold, like transparent glass. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Would you pray with me? Father God, we pray in this very moment that you would find us faithful, that you would find us about your business, that we would be very much aware of this heaven that is awaiting us, this new Jerusalem. And we just pray, Father, that as your people, we would be a light in this world. We know, Father, that you will guide us. You will be the light in our world to come. But Father, we pray that you would use us. We pray, Father, that you would see us fit to be instruments of your peace, to bring comfort and to provide shelter and just to be all that those around us would need. We just thank you, God, for what we know it's like and what's ahead. And we pray that we would look forward to it as we look forward to doing your will on this earth. And it's in Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to invite us into a Sunday school classroom filled with children. The teacher has just asked the question, how do we get to heaven? And the conversation unfolds. If I sold my house, I sold my car, if I had this gigantic yard sale, and I gave all the money to the church, would that get me to heaven? And the children all yelled, no! Well, what if every single day I vacuumed the carpets of every church member, I cleaned their bathrooms and mowed their lawn, and I washed their cars? Would that get me into heaven? No, said the children. Okay, well, what if I gave money to the poor? What if I fed the hungry? What if I built homes for the homeless, visited those in prison, and I cared for the orphans? Would that get me into heaven? And again, the children yelled, no! Finally, the teacher was like, well, how can I possibly get into heaven? And this excited little 5-year-old boy in the back of the room jumps up and he yells, you've got to be dead. Well, friends, as you very well know, that's only part of the answer. We know that it boils down to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Under no other name can we be saved. It's saying, yes, Lord, I accept your forgiveness given to me through your death on the cross, and I choose to make you Lord of my life and live for you, knowing death has been conquered and you rose from the grave on the third day. This morning, friends, we say thank you, Jesus, for loving us despite ourselves. It leads to what we've been talking about the past few weeks in this series called Life Ever After, which, friends, we know is in heaven in the presence of God. We know, friends, it's not by works, it's not by good deeds, it's not even by sitting in church every week, though what fellowship we'd miss out on. But as Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 read, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not from yourself or anything you've done, but the gift of God." Friends, we know that when life throws us lemons, we indeed can make lemonade. We know that it's all good. Everything's going to be okay. And like I heard 1,000 times this week to my wife, hang in there. We know we can do all those things because in Christ we know what is next. We don't have to guess. We don't have to second guess. We can know. We can be assured the peace, the comfort, the ability to deal with the pain and the discomforts of this world are found in the name of Jesus. He sees us through with the free gift of grace from God. Friends, salvation is near. It is at hand. The clock is ticking. No matter what's happening, life on this earth has nothing on us. There's nothing in comparison to the life ever after, with no more tears or pain or suffering or even death. No more stress, no more worry, no more fears. No more technical difficulties, cars breaking down, pipes bursting. No more zits for teenagers or homework or breakups. No more doubt. No more feeling insecure. No more feeling drained. Friends, hate will no longer exist, and the wars will be over. And just when we think it can't get any better, there's no more wondering what could possibly happen next. It's all good. Life is grand in Jesus. Keep the faith, keep living like, keep serving like Jesus, and remember to confess your sins. But don't just confess, try as much as you're able to turn from them with Jesus' help. There's nothing worth more than this life ever after. You see, friends, it's what keeps our focus. It's what maintains our perspective. It's what keeps us looking forward. So, friends, here's what it's like. Remember Abraham? Remember Abel, Enoch, Noah, Sarah, so many others? All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcome them from a distance. They were okay that they were foreigners. Those who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, we read in Hebrews 11, 13 to 16, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Prior, we read specifically about Abraham. By faith, he was willing to live in the promised land like a stranger. He was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder was God. Friends, I pray in the powerful name of Jesus, we realize the new Jerusalem will be more real, more solid, more beautiful than any Canaan's land of milk and honey or any land on this earth. When we think about it, the places we've been, the places that we'd love to go, it makes heaven even more remarkable. It makes it even more than we can ever imagine. It's beyond the beauty of any mountain, any island, paradise, or beach that we've ever been to. It's beyond any waterfall, any landscape, or any majestic lake that we've been to. But friends, how can we talk about heaven? How can we even try to understand some place that seems like such a mystery? And here's why. The Bible gives us what we need to know. And what we know inspires us. Were you listening to what David just read? It's beyond the Mona Lisa, beyond the Starry Night, beyond any symphony by Bach or Beethoven. It's something, friends, that we can look forward to. It's like that steak on the grill. How do you like it done again? The birth of a child, an anticipated vacation, or a family gathering like Christmas. We love looking forward to things. I mean, seriously, how many of us get excited about the mail each day? We never know what's going to come. That card, that letter, we know it'll brighten our day. That clothing that we ordered online, we know it's going to be the exact fit, said no one ever. And that's just it. The reality sets in. Friends, we start to realize there is a major difference between looking forward to something here on this earth and looking forward to the life ever after in heaven. And here's what I mean. Things, even people on this earth can and they will disappoint. That steak rarely gets done the way I like it. The vacation that we thought was going to be marvelous wasn't all that it was cracked up to be. It rained every single day. The advertising made it look so dreamy. Christmas, well, we know what can happen at Christmas. We forget about the turkey in the oven or the ham. Somehow, some way, on the most incredible day of the year, the family's in a mood. Not to forget the gifts underneath the trees, what you thought you were going to get, you didn't get. And many of us are very much aware, even the birth of a child can offer its own complications. Though that little bundle of joy will always be perfect in our eyes, there's times we deal with health issues. And that clothing? Yeah, what were we thinking? Too tight? Too big? That's not the color that it showed online. That card, that letter we thought for sure was going to come today, it just never comes. And we know that the list goes on and on of disappointments. But friends, there is great news. There is fantastic news. There is the best news ever. As you may remember, extra, extra, read all about it. Nothing, nothing, nothing in heaven can or will disappoint. Nothing in heaven can or will disappoint. God is always good. God is always great. And we can indeed thank him for the life ever after. But friends, we must live, we must love like we mean it. We've got to forget about the distractions. We can't get caught up in this world. They're only going to get in the way of what matters most. And ultimately, we know they'll disappoint. Friends, we have something beyond description to look forward to. We've heard about it in our reading from the book of Revelation. There's just something within us that we can't help but wonder what it's like. It's where our hearts long for, our souls desire. It's how we're created to live as eternal beings. Yet we know this morning heaven can be mysterious to the human mind. It's a place that actually defies our imagination. 1 Corinthians 2:9 spells it out. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. So in essence, whatever we can imagine heaven to be like, it's probably not just that. It's vastly superior to anything our minds can begin to fathom. But we've heard story after story of what it's like. The mention of pearly gates, the mention of St. Peter with questions. Yet for sure this morning we can know Isaiah was the first to foretell a new heaven and a new earth. We can rest assured Scripture is clear to us that heaven is a real place. Every description of it draws a picture of perfection. Whether it's numbers, whether it's dimensions, whatever the description, we shall find perfection. So what might we expect to see? What might we expect to fear, feel? And the question I hear most is, what are we going to do there? And the first thing we notice that is most prominent, that brings the greatest comfort, is that God himself will be with us. God himself will be with us. Revelation 22:3 in the King James Version, the dwelling place, which is the word skin, it's the word for tabernacle. We see it in Leviticus 26:11-12. It says, I will put my dwelling place among you, and I will not abhor you. I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. Friends, this is a promise repeated over and over and over again in Scripture. I can't help but to think back to the scene in the Garden of Eden where God walked and talked with Adam and Eve. This too, my friends, is what we shall experience. It's something we can look forward to despite what's happening around us. We can look forward to the life ever after. But then we often hear, what are we going to be like? And 1 John 3:2 answers this. It says, dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. Friends, we have to imagine as we enter heaven, there will be physical, there will be spiritual changes. John tells us that we'll be like Jesus, but what exactly does that mean? Here's a few things the Bible tells us. I'll admit the first has me the most excited, and you'll know why in just a second. Friends, we will still eat. Did you hear what I just said? We will still eat. I thought for sure I'd get a hallelujah or an amen, praise you, Jesus, right there. But think about it. The first thing that happens after the rapture, it is the marriage supper. I hear food. Marriage supper of the Lamb. Revelation 3:20, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. You see, friends, after the resurrection of Jesus, he appeared to his disciples in Jerusalem. And while they were having trouble believing it because they were so excited, Jesus himself asked them, do you have anything here to eat? And it goes on, they gave him a piece of broiled fish. Jake, that gets me excited. Broiled fish. I imagine there's no butter, though. But then he takes it and he eats it in their presence. Peter even says in Acts 10:41, he was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. But let's get even more real. Let's move ahead to Revelation 22:2. It says, are you ready for this? On each side of the river stood the tree of life bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And then it goes on, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Friends, there should be a smile on our face. We shall eat. But we're not just eating with anyone. We're eating with the most honored guest in the entire world, Jesus, our Lord himself. Talk about something to look forward to. And what hits home to me, especially this past week, is the reality of never, never being sick again. It's obvious we live in a fallen, imperfect world. People get sick, they suffer, they die. But friends, in heaven, that is not the case. There will be no more sickness or disease or suffering or dying. And guess what? There will be no more prescriptions. There will be no more doctor visits. Forget about needles. They'll never need to use those again. The utter joy of living in God's presence will be indescribable. But I did often wonder why the nations would need to be healed if all the evil had been eliminated. But we realized John was alluding back to Ezekiel 47:12. It says, where water flowing from the temple produced trees with healing leaves. It's not implying illness. The emphasis is the water of life producing health and producing strength wherever it goes. We have to remember by this point, everything has been healed. We know heaven will be a world where Isaiah 35:5-6 says, the eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped, and the lame, check this out, will leap like a deer, and the mute tongue will shout for joy. In heaven, there will once and for all be rest. Hebrews 3:4 even talks about entering the rest of the Lord. Revelation 14:13 says, then I heard a voice from heaven say, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. Now, we're not really told whether we'll sleep in heaven, but we're simply told there will be rest. So forget the stress, forget the fatigue. I imagine this new found energy, an energy unlike any other. All we really know is the seventh day God rested. After the 6 days of creation, it doesn't say anything about sleep. But let's end with this question, and we're going to catch up with our scripture in 2 weeks. Will there be animals in heaven? This by far is the most asked question by children. Even some adults, when their pet dies, do they go to heaven? Will they see Fluffy ever again? Unfortunately, the answer is we don't know. But friends, there will be animals in heaven. Check out what the Bible says in Isaiah 11:6. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Isaiah 11:7 also says, and the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Revelation 19:11, we've heard this one before. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. Friends, we can smile. We can agree that there will be animals in heaven. But remember, we can only imagine what heaven's like. But friends, it is indeed something to look forward to. We'll pick up with this series, Life Ever After, in 2 weeks, talking about this idea of unhindered fellowship with God. As the praise team comes forward for our closing song, we'd invite you to consider the service of anointing. We know anointing is ideally for those that are sick, it says in the book of James, to call upon the elders. But here at Little Sotara, we also extend that invitation to be anointed, which is simply with oil in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for direction, for guidance, for understanding, for the willingness to be able to deal with perhaps doubt you have with your faith relationship. But the anointing service will be here beside the piano as well as in the prayer room in the back. So if you're able, we invite you to please rise for our closing song. And anyone interested in being anointed with oil, to please make your way forward or make your way back to the prayer room. We do invite you after the service to seek out a deacon or myself, and we would be glad to continue to have an anointing service thereafter. As we go forth this week, may we look forward to what lies ahead. May we realize the life ever after is something worth living, a life for Jesus here while we remain on this earth. May we be filled with love. May we have patience. May we give comfort and encouragement to others. And may the healing be upon us as we know Jesus is with us. In his name, amen.